This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bess.
Time's just gone 28 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Lunch Bite with Ian Bess. That was Avicii. Very nice song. Craig, thank you for picking such awesome songs today. I'm not really. You're getting better and better. Clearly you need to spend some time on the morning show. No, I didn't say that. Morning. Good afternoon, Howard. And the afternoon show is, we won't say anything about the words because I'm scared of them. I'm not scared of Howard. I'm more scared of the afternoon tea. All right. There was Avicii with Waiting for Love. I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by a very dear friend of mine. We were actually just reminiscing off air that I think the last time we saw each other was way back in 2015. 2015. Wow. Good afternoon, Victor. How are you?
Good afternoon. They call you Ian Bess.
They call me Ian Bess. They can't pronounce my surname, Victor. So it has to be.
You and I are the same.
Absolutely. Same yeah. Word. So how you're looking a lot better than I am.
Really?
Yeah. 5 years down the line.
Well, thank you. But I mean, you look good.
You just
not under pressure to shave every day.
No. You can see
it. For radio now.
Yeah, exactly. A face for radio. Thank you, Victor. So Victor, the reason we got you into the studio is because this show is focusing on the state of the nation because we can't avoid it.
Right.
But everybody that is talking about it is talking politics, so they're talking negative. Now, you're an Afro-optimist. You've written a bestseller book called Africa is Open for Business.
Right.
And the thing I want to just share about Victor's book is that Victor's book says here, 10 years of game-changing headlines. And the amazing thing about your book is you can pick it up and you don't have to read it from cover to cover.
Exactly, because, you know, in modern age of in social media, the listeners and readers are getting younger and younger. They rightfully don't have the patience to read a tome, you know, War and Peace type of book.
Right.
They want to know, you get to the point. And because of that, and also because I'm a media person, I think in headlines. Mm. I thought, well, let me pick the headlines that captured the imagination. But the essence is what you said. Africa is open for business, which means opportunities of the world are going to converge on this African continent. And for the next 50 years, there will be an upside for anybody who does business here. You'll have down times, you have countries that do better than others. But in the end, if you are on the shores of Africa or inland, wherever it is, you are in the right place.
Absolutely. So you've written about Africa. Let's hone into South Africa. Yes. You tell us now, and I think we're all fatigued about the negative, as I mentioned. What are the positives and how should the listeners be looking at South Africa in terms of the opportunities and how should we be focusing our attitude?
Our attitude should be that we are an African country. The weakness and the downside of our attitude as South Africans has been that we think of ourselves as South Africa and then Africa. And I say, no, we are part of the African continent. And the advantage, if we start right away, just look at the problems we've had and how we came out of it. In other countries, there would have been a coup, there would have been soldiers on the street. Now, already the fact that South African institutions, even in the most tense of times, can hold is a plus. Because you know that. The listeners of this show are business people, they're investors. If you're investing in a country, you don't want to go into a jurisdiction or company that has no risk.
Right.
You just want to be able to measure and estimate your risk so that you can manage it.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa has the advantage there that even though there is uncertainty of whether Eskom will deliver, whether Transnet will, but people can be taken to court and the court systems work.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a problem of the public protector, you can still have civil action. Now, when you have civil action, it means you and I can agree today, disagree tomorrow, but we won't take out knives and stab each other. We won't shoot each other. We will use institutions. Now, the strength of our institutions is amazing.
Right.
Our banking system, let's not undermine that. We have problems. Our audit industry. Mm. Why? Because everybody wants assurance.
Yes.
Audit is part of overall assurance. Now, all those kinds of things. We have good infrastructure here. Yeah, I know if you drive into a pothole, you don't feel that way. But let me tell you, I travel the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you're in Africa or Europe. The roads are reasonably okay.
Mm.
It's the running of institutions that must be improved.
Right.
So that's the upside. We still have a state of the nation address tomorrow. The only thing is...
It's tonight. Don't miss it, huh? It's at 7 o'clock tonight.
Is it tonight?
Yeah.
Not tomorrow?
No, it's 7 o'clock tonight.
Okay, right. There you go. It tells you who's been not watching much.
I can see that you're the optimist because you're focusing on the other things. A quick question I want to ask you about you spoke about the institutions, and we know that we do have solid elements in our financial institutions and other aspects. Talk to me a little bit about innovation and education. Yeah. And where do the two meet? And in a situation where we know we've got a lot to do on education, yet we know we've got the fourth industrial revolution on our doorstep.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Think about it. Innovation is just thinking of different ways, creative ways of doing something. Let's talk names in South Africa. Michael Jordan.
Mm.
You know, this man was leading an institution and he's still out there. Mm. You know, you have Time Bank, you have, which you go back to Creepy Crawley, you go back to, even if you talk about the Roy Falk, you know, it does not matter.
Mm.
South Africans are as innovative as any other person. The disadvantage might be from innovation to commercialization and monetization.
Okay.
Because that's where the ideas get lost, and that's why you have an Elon Musk being called, a South African born billionaire. Wouldn't it have been nice that he would have built this? We had a lot of that. So the essence of it should be one. Let's get our institutional framework to work. Minister Mantashe said last week that he would like private sector companies to be able to generate power. Now, how long have we been discussing this?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, as far back as the 80s, Raymond Ackerman has been saying, why can't we sell fuel?
Yeah.
You know, the innovation is not about breaking the rules or dismantling the institute. It's about saying, Ian has a clever idea and we know it can work, and the only way we'll know it doesn't work is if he tries it out.
Yeah.
So shorten the distance, lower the barriers, rather have people trying something with good intentions. Secondly, build it into our education system. Mm. And the weakness there, I'm a teacher by training, by the way.
Okay.
The weakness in South Africa is that there's not enough link between the education, the broader public education. Private sector is not going to save us. Mm. Public education, where the majority of South Africans are, there's not enough link between that and the working, the labor market.
So if you had to say, and I love the idea that you're talking about, that we need to try and fail and then pick up.
Yeah.
We don't have that mentality, if I can say, we don't live by that in South Africa, because everybody wants to succeed, and people, if they fear that they'll fail, they'd rather not try. So how do we build courage? How do we get people to be courageous that you don't need to suffer through and get a matric as an example to be successful?
You know, let's go back to basics.
Yes.
Risk management, I use the word risk. What is risk? The risk is the possibility that the outcome you don't want will materialize, or the outcome you desire will fail.
Okay.
Risk management needs to know, Ian. If I'm going to lend you money or I'm going to borrow money from you, we need to know each other.
Right.
Because if I know you, I know your family, I know if he doesn't pay, I can call up the wife, I can call up the business partners, I can call up his boss. I can lend you money with more. Now, South Africa has that weakness. We do not know one another. So I'm in Sandton. Mm. Across the highway is Alex.
Right.
The very people who cross the highway on foot to come and work in Sandton, we don't know them enough. I say, hey, let's just get to know one another. Because when we know one another, we see the humanity in all of us.
Right.
And the human in you touches the human in me. And it doesn't matter, you could be 10 times richer. Mm. There's that human bond that's going to connect us. And once we find that, we're able to then say, there's a kid in Soweto, there's a kid in Tembisa who has a great idea, and we believe it can work. But there's an investor in Lyndhurst who has some extra money that he wants to put to a good cause. Mm. Hey, why don't we connect them more? But if you said that to somebody in Lyndhurst, let's go to Tembisa, they'll think, first of all, is it safe? Where is that? And that's where I think the weakness is. And of course, because the government tends to look at, hey, the majority of South Africans, then that lack of trust gets transposed into the way the government operates. So I think if there's anything else, we should stop fearing people because we don't know them, we don't understand them, and just what the crisis we are facing now of education that's not delivering, of ESCOM that's not delivering, will not be solved unless we believe in humanity. Okay. And that's one thing South Africans have in common.
So, Victor, from your travels and from your experience, and as you say, you write a lot. Yeah. I know you've still got a column in Sunday Independent, which I still enjoy reading. And
thank you.
Pleasure. And the thing for me that I found is your world travels have helped you to build relationships and have conversations. How important is it to build a network?
Traveling makes you see how small you are.
Right.
In your neighborhood, on your block, in your family, you're the biggest, toughest guy. Mm. You walk across the road, you find somebody 10 times tougher.
Right.
But you can offer them something. Mm. That's where the travel, by the way, can be physical.
Yeah.
But luckily today, it need not be physical. Mm. We can connect on social media.
Absolutely.
Which means we can travel a lot more readily, more cheaply. And the importance of building networks is often because there's good in every bad and bad in every good. The combination, the sum total of all humanity will be that the problem you're facing, Ian, is a piece of cake to me. I can solve it with my eyes closed and vice versa.
Right.
The issues that I'm battling with to you are part of that. And that could be across the road from Alex into Sandton, or it could be across the provinces. It could be across borders. It could be across from Europe to Africa. That's what we need. Just reaching out to one another on faith a lot more. You know, people who have really changed the world did that on faith. They didn't do that on analysis. Yes, analysis will follow, but analysis must follow some leap of faith that we need to take. And where South Africa is today, we need that more than any other.
So Victor, we could talk for hours, but we're running out of time. I want to end with one note, and say that if you had to start something today about bridging the gap between different communities, and when I say different communities or different individuals, where would you start? Which sector of the community? The youth, the unemployed?
I would start with the advantaged.
Okay, okay.
The advantaged must reach out because they are the ones whose fears are holding us back.
Right.
And there's no black and white now. Mm. A rich black guy is just as afraid of losing his car as anybody else. I would say if you are advantaged, if you are bigger, if you are stronger than anybody, reach out to the weaker. If you are richer, reach out to the poorer. Mm. You will find just by doing that, you will be knocked out. And it's not as difficult as that. Everybody has a housekeeper, somebody who's cleaning there. Start with them.
Yeah.
Ask them, can I take you to your house this weekend and see where you live? Guess what? Africans love visitors, man. They're gonna lay the red carpet for you.
Well, Victor, I'll tell you, we talk about food here, so maybe we can bring people together through food. We talk a lot about cooking on the show.
So much starvation, and we waste so much food, by the way.
Absolutely. So maybe that's an initiative.
Yep.
Victor Khomotswane, thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
It's been a pleasure.
Your message to everyone, let's start the conversations.
Africa is open for business. Let's open our minds. Let's open our hearts. It is possible.
Thank you very much. You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Ian Best. The time's just gone 12:41. If you need to pick up your kids at 1 o'clock, you better get moving. If you need to get back to your desk in 19 minutes, you better be heading there. But don't leave us because we've got an awesome guest. We've got someone joining us from the line from London. A guy who knows his stuff. Damon Hoff is going to be joining us on the line in the next few minutes, and he's going to be giving us a little bit of a different perspective from London. We'll be back right after this.